Education Finance Committee will come to order. Good afternoon. Welcome to all of our members of the public and testifiers. Because the House floor session went a little longer into our committee time, we are going to try to adjust our schedule a little bit. I want to make sure to accommodate testifiers who have come some distance to be here today and parents and that who are here, and then so we're going to try to get through as much of our planned agenda as we can, but the plan is that we will start with testimony on some of the education partnership projects that are going on around the state, and we will push the discussion on the scholarship report, early learning report, and that to the end of the agenda, and that may have to spill over into tomorrow, but again, because we had people who traveled some distance to be here for the other portion of the testimony, I wanted to recognize that and have those folks go first. So with that, and we don't have a quorum yet, so at some point I may have to just interrupt the meeting to pass the minutes from yesterday's meeting, but until that, we'll go ahead and start with testimony. And I believe Representative Kelly, you're going to lead off. And so if you would please just introduce yourself and maybe kind of open up the topic of discussion for today. And we welcome your testifiers.
Thank you, Chair Loon and committee members. My name is Tim Kelly, representative from Red Wing. And I just wanted to say a couple words. I know your time is tight, but as you know, Madam Chair, last year we brought a bill forward for funding for this educational partnerships program, but what I would like to say, as you'll hear from the testifiers, is that this is so much more than just a plea for dollars and for funding. This is about an initiative that I've been fortunate enough to work with over the last couple of years, and what you're going to hear is more about a community, as you see many members here, a community that has decided to come out and support these programs, not just in a funding format, but in a true commitment to their children's education, and to say that we don't believe it's just the job of a school or a teacher or a family, for that matter. We believe the community all has a stake in educating our children, and I can tell you there are wonderful things going on, and this is absolutely an investment in a community initiative that is only not only exceeding our expectations, but it's growing, and I look forward to talking about this further at your discretion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Kelly. All right, so we have people here from the, I believe it's Every Hands Joined and other education partnerships. So who would like to lead off?
I'll go, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, my name is Munir Karcher-Ramos, and I'm the director of the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood. Thank you for having us in the committee today. The St. Paul Promise Neighborhood, we're a member of a broader statewide coalition called the Education Partnership Coalition. Collectively, our coalition includes five place-based initiatives, including Red Wing, Northfield, St. Cloud, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. We're all around the state, and we value local partnerships, a data-driven and holistic approach, and results-based accountability. We believe that every child deserves to go to college regardless of their zip code. As Representative Kelly mentioned, last year the state made a targeted investment in members of our coalition. We are here today to tell you about how we are advancing local solutions that are actually producing results. This year, we're not asking you to invest in individual programs. We're asking you to invest in results from early childhood through high school graduation and beyond that have a statewide impact. So to start, I want to direct you to the last few pages of the packet that was handed off, the longer packet that says Education Partnership Coalition on the front. So on the second to the last page will be St. Paul Promise Neighborhood. In late 2010, early 2011, the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood launched as a result of a federal planning grant that required a public-private partnership. Local and corporate philanthropy ranging from the St. Paul Foundation to metro corporations like Health Partners, 3M, Securian, and Ecolab, they contributed about $500,000 to jumpstart the planning back in 2010-2011 for the initiative. At that time, the funders and corporations believed in the mission and the approach of the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood, which is to use education and family stability as tools to address multi-generational poverty in the Frogtown and Summit University neighborhoods of St. Paul. We also knew that there was a business imperative with these young people being our next generation of our workforce. As well, we saw the families and residents at the same time expecting everyone to rise to the occasion to transform our place, a place that exists right here at the footsteps of the state office building, being the Frogtown and Summit University neighborhoods of St. Paul. We're here to pave pathways of opportunity that ensure children in our neighborhood can thrive in school, be put on the pathway to college, and succeed in life. To do this, if you look in the middle of the page on that packet, you'll see it's we're very focused early, in early childhood and elementary. We're doing the proactive and preventative work where we know we will have the greatest return on investment. On the bottom right, you'll see the 7 results and 9 goal areas. We're a promised neighborhood type of approach is looking both at what happens in school, so we're looking at kindergarten readiness and third grade reading, as well as the things that impact family stability and student success outside of the school, so looking at housing, health, civic engagement. We're really advancing as a 2-generation approach focused inside and outside the school with the objective of getting every child to college. We're delivering results, and we're beginning to be a game changer for our schools, neighborhood, and state. Our approach is addressing educational disparities, and we're trying to create a neighborhood and state where everybody thrives. So a little bit about the appropriation in and of itself. Last year, the St. Paul Promise neighborhood was appropriated $1.2 million per year, or 2.4 over the biennium. And before we even came to the legislature for any state appropriation, we had private family and corporate philanthropic support in the range of about $4 million to coming up to that, and that wasn't annually, but building up, you know, into planning in our first years of implementation. And that funding was really used to build a base of evidence and data that allowed us to even come and make the case last legislative session for any type of state appropriation. So as St. Paul Promise neighborhood landed on where we should put our appropriation dollar, we decided that public dollars are best used and invested in approaches that we've seen effect to be effective and that they're backed by data, as well as how do we get more of what's working to more kids. So really, a question around scalability within the neighborhood. And I'll talk maybe about 2 or 3 ways that we've used the state appropriation. The first way is we invested in bolstering and scaling our summer learning loss prevention program. At the top of the page in the middle, you'll see a graph moving from 91% up to 96% in terms of summer learning loss prevention. What we know is that children from low-income backgrounds can lose up to a half year, a whole academic year of learning if they do not have any summer learning opportunity. And St. Paul Promise neighborhood, along with our partners, have prevented summer learning loss with 96% of the kids. And if you look at the bottom there, we moved from 353 kids to 803 kids last summer. So keeping at that sort of 96%. You know, preventing summer learning loss. The second investment we made within the appropriation is really supporting highly mobile and homeless students. Across our 4 partner schools, we have over 150 highly mobile or homeless families. And our initiative, like the other initiatives that you hear today, really work at the intersection of issues. So in this issue, we're looking at how does housing stability affect school attendance and academic outcomes. We're able to secure some funding from a different agency, the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, but they didn't provide any sort of supportive services. So we really used part of the appropriation to really look at, in school, with these children in the schools, how do we support their housing needs. And on the top right, you'll see we're able to move year over year with the same group of students from 47% of the kids who are chronically absent, which means that they missed 11 or more days of school, to only 7% of that same group of kids who were chronically absent. So we're looking at a 40% reduction. What we know is that when kids aren't in seats, not attending school, that they aren't learning, and really seeing that homelessness has been a real root of that, and part of our appropriation is building off a lot of those strong results that we saw earlier on. The third investment is really installing starting up at a new school, Benjamin E. Mays Elementary, which is about 500 children have been added to our pipeline, moving from 1,451 kids to 1,934 kids. And there's about 3,300 kids total in this early childhood and elementary part of the pipeline. And we're reaching approximately 58% of all kids who are in early childhood and elementary. And really the question at hand is we must be working at scale to address these problems around the achievement gap. A few hundred kids in a couple different programs isn't going to do it. We must be working at scale and in order to meet the challenge of the magnitude of the problem we're trying to address. So we're really looking to continue to scale these investments, look at what's going on. I think that what has happened as a result of receiving some state funding, other folks in private and local philanthropy have also leveraged sort of the funding and looked at, we got an additional $1 million investment as a result. It's really signaling confidence coming from the state that we're both doubling down and moving other funders to multi-year because they do see this state investment. So to bring this impact of the initiative alive, I'd like to introduce Carnita, who's with us, and she is a parent at one of the new St. Paul Promise Neighborhood Partner Schools. Without the state investment, she wouldn't actually be here, probably here to testify about the impact St. Paul Promise Neighborhood has on her and her family.
All right. Thank you for being here. If you would just introduce yourself for the record, and we welcome your testimony.
Hello. My name is Carnita Milton. I am a parent in the St. Paul Promise neighborhood. My children go to Benjamin E. Mays, which is also a partner with the St. Paul Promise neighborhood. And I just have to say that it's a wonderful organization, that working with them, with Munir, MK, and a lot of others in the organization has really introduced me to a lot of things, and it helped me get the momentum that I needed to succeed when I felt like that I couldn't. I myself experienced homelessness, and a friend of mine who actually was working or who was in the program with St. Paul Promise Neighborhood, I could just see how interested she was in her drive working with a lot of genuine people that was here to help and serve our children and are in the community partners and in the schools also, and just looking at where she had came from to where she was with the St. Paul Promise neighborhood motivated me to want to be a part of it. And again, they have helped me so much. My kids are now stable. I'm stable. I'm also a paraprofessional in one of the partnering schools, which is Benjamin E. Mays. I work in special education. I now serve as a leader on the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood Parent Council, and I can say that we all genuinely share the same goal, is to get these kids to where they need so that they can succeed like the rest of the world is, and, you know, to bring the poverty level and things down, because we all want our babies to go further, and we all want them to feel like they can go home and be safe, and they can be in the neighborhood and be safe. And so St. Paul Promise Neighborhood as a whole, everyone works really, really hard for that one goal. So I'm just appreciative to be a part of it. I love what they do. And the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood is new to my school, and I myself have benefited from it. Other parents and the students have benefited from it, and we need to get more of what is working to the families in the neighborhood. And this state and this committee, has the chance to expand St. Paul Promise Neighborhood's reach to our neighborhoods and our kids. So, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members, I'd also like to introduce Xinying Li. She's a parent who's been with us for quite a while, starting off with an early learning scholarship through Race to the Top, and then continuing on into one of our partner elementary schools. So I'd like to introduce Xinying Li.
Welcome. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm a parent of two students at Jackson Elementary. It is also a partner school. I do live in the St. Paul area in Frogtown. I have three kids total. My children are recipients of the Early Learning Scholarship, so they've attended a 4-star rated Parent Aware program, the top quality child care. They've made many relationships. They look forward to school all the time. I know my youngest, she's the teenager going Miss Independent. She's been able to demonstrate a lot. She can zip her own coat, tie her own shoes, even if it's not the best. That's what she does. But she has lots of friends, and they always look forward to school. Got to say bye to everybody every day I pick her up.
But yeah, they're doing great. A transition for my kids from daycare to Jackson has been smooth. My kids are ready for kindergarten. I have enrolled my kids into the Hmong dual language program at Jackson Elementary, which I'm really happy about and for what they offer also. And just being a part of the St. Paul Province Neighborhood Parent Council, it's been a great opportunity to work with other parents in our community on issues that are unique to the families in our neighborhood. And they've also helped foster relationships to help us stay engaged on matters that affect us. We're understanding how to use our voices in productive ways instead of being angry and directing that into ways that are not beneficial to changes as we move forward. And so I guess lastly, I just want to say that the St. Paul Province Neighborhood Parent Council and what the work that they do supports and empowers parents, and that it's excellent. Many decisions that are happening for our children and families and in our neighborhoods, there's always there's a disconnect there sometimes, and it's been great to be a part of this parent council and to bring this to spaces like this and to share that. And so I hope that you continue the support for the St. Paul Province neighborhood, and thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Last, I'd like to introduce Damone Presley. He's the father of children at Maxfield Elementary School.
Welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. I would like to say, you know, my personal experience as a lifelong resident from the Rondo community, born and raised, you know, education is of high importance in the community. Thereof has been really transitional to seeing our children continue to receive a high education. So as a parent, having a daughter at Maxfield, a nephew at Maxfield, and many cousins that would take up the whole time if I was to mention all of them. But to say a few or not, that seeing the St. Paul Promise neighborhood come into our community, begin to work with the community, I as a parent, along in partnership with an organization, Aurora St. Anthony Neighborhood Development Corporation, which is one of those community partners, really the root of an organization that really represents the community, the people who look like me, has really just been special to be involved, to be engaged, working along with the Promise Neighborhood. So with that personal experience, my daughter has really excelled as far as a young, bright young lady, seeing her just really being inspired. She's involved in various programs that the St. Paul Promise Neighborhood has brought within the schools. So that's just very exciting to be a part of. I am a founder and director of a youth organization called Vision and Living Life Changes Possible. So fortunately, I'm able to be one of those partners too as well to get to work along with our children in those four schools through a six-lesson curriculum that I developed that I teach and work along with our students. Here in the Rondo neighborhood, you know, many probably know of with I-94, seeing that transition happen. And now along with the light rail in the community, which is a great thing, that it through those transitions and watching these things, that hopefully our children be continue to engage along with their education to be a part of, that seeing the St. Paul Promise neighborhood working along with our children has really helped with the resources, the programming, where families are becoming sustainable. Children are being excited about their education, being more proactive with a holistic approach that the St. Paul Promise neighborhood brings to the community. And me personally, I have witnessed the transformation happening with many families and also our children. These young, bright students, I'm watching on a regular, everyday basis as I'm in the schools. They're very lively, more smiling, teachers more interactive, the community's more interactive. And as a concerned parent and community member, to see my daughter and to see all our children in the community, along with the Maxfield students, receive the best education and have an opportunity where families can be given the opportunity to achieve and maintain to be successful. You, Madam Chair, and the committee members have that opportunity to engage to bring new resources to our community. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Presley. All right, welcome. If you would please just state your name for the record, and
yes.
We welcome your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Tom Wicks. I'm the Director of Operations for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Minnesota in St. Cloud. And Boys and Girls Club is one of the partners for Partner for Student Success that's featured. It's next to the last in the packet that's been given there. And actually, the logo there of that hand raised, the word partner is meant to be a verb there. We're rallying everybody from all sectors of the community to raise their hand to help the children out. And our mission is that, to unite the greater St. Cloud community in the collective pursuit of student success. In our region there, that represents over 17,000 students in pre-K through 12 programs and 13 separate communities, along with three distinct school districts there, St. Cloud, Sauk Rapids, and Sartell. And what we've been able to do since 2010 is get over 50 partners, Boys and Girls Club is one of those partners, but get over 50 partners to start coming together with a common agenda, and that agenda is for success of those students. And it includes a few different components there. First of all, it's engaging people in their everyday work to take a look at, you know, what are you doing, what could you be doing a little bit differently that's going to make a difference with students. We're trying to communicate a common agenda, and in the handout there, highlighted in blue, are the four components or goals that we have. Number one is every child is ready for lifelong learning. Every child succeeds in school is two. Three is every student is ready for post-secondary ed or career training. And number four, every student is ready for career. We've with the appropriation that's been granted to the St. Cloud area, we've really gotten traction in the last year. The first couple of years, we're getting people together, agreeing on a common agenda. And we've done a lot of work with the first goal of every child is ready for lifelong learning. We've gotten curriculum people from three school districts to get together, agree on common language, as we have students that move from district to district, to agree on common language and also agree on a message to parents of what they can do to partner to help their kids be successful in school. And that happens to parallel with the goal of the United Way of the area there, so they're working hard. So we literally have hundreds of people that are changing what early childhood is and getting ready for kindergarten means. Sadly to say, 50% statistic is 50% of the students in the St. Cloud School District are measured not to be ready for kindergarten. I mean, that's a staggering statistic. And we're starting to work here now and getting everybody to work together to change that, just at the beginning of that. As I mentioned, I'm with the Boys and Girls Club, and it so happened that just yesterday, Youth of the Year from Boys and Girls Clubs from around the state of Minnesota were here in St. Paul for the Youth of the Year event. And our Youth of the Year had to get back to school. But in her story, she told about how being a member of the Boys and Girls Club, one of the partners of Partner for Student Success, outside of school, with the staff's encouragement and helping set goals, her message was she does better in school because of that. There's somebody after school believing in her that really makes that difference. And like all teens, she has challenges. And there's somebody there every day after school at the Boys and Girls Club that can be there to help her through those challenges and make sure she doesn't give up. She does participate in programs such as Career Launch and Goals for Growth. And as a junior, she was hired at the local McDonald's, and she's advanced to a manager at McDonald's. And she attributes that to those programs that, in her words, she says, it's not just that you work. The Boys and Girls Club teaches you what it means to be an employee and how you can get the most out of it. So that's pretty profound for a 12th grader to be saying that, and that she's learned that in these programs in our community. So we're very proud of that. Also for the communicating a common agenda, it goes hand in hand with measurement, and that's again some of the traction we've been able to gain. It's noted in our notes there that we were able to hire a communications person and a data management person, and we're doing surveys with all of the preschool children to find out what kind of care were they in, and then using those metrics to be able to determine what is the best route to be ready for kindergarten. So we're just at the beginning of that. And I think what's most exciting in St. Cloud right now is we formed a very diverse board of directors for Partner for Student Success. And the sectors that are represented are superintendents from the three school districts that we represent, youth agencies, nonprofit organizations, we have government, law enforcement, several different sectors, and I think most importantly we have businesses, manufacturing that are there, and they're just anxious. They want to move that needle as far as student success. And with the appropriation that was granted to St. Cloud Partner for Student Success, it's really given our group hope that they can go out and raise more money through the private sector, through the businesses. They know very well, it's stated over and over again, that their future employees are the students right now, and so they have a vested interest in this working for them to make their employees the best they can be. So a great start that we have things going, and I just want to thank you for your support so far, and not only for Partner for Student Success in Central Minnesota, but statewide, all the difference that you're making. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wicks, and take a quick disruption to the flow of the testimony. We do have a quorum, so Representative Newton, if you've had an opportunity to review the minutes of March 15th.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the minutes of March 15th.
All right. Representative Newton moves adoption of the minutes from March 15th. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Minutes are adopted. Thank you, Representative Newton. All right, so thank you. Got that business out of the way. We'll go back to our testimony. Welcome.
Great. Thanks for having us, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Zach Pruitt, and I'm the director of Northfield Promise. Northfield Promise is based on the nationally recognized Strive Together Collective Impact model. We actually began this collective impact work in Northfield nearly a decade ago as a result of some concerning data that existed in our community. Like many Minnesota cities, Northfield is a community that prides itself on our education systems. However, when we looked at the data, we saw that only 1 in 3 Latino children in our community was graduating from high school. Among kids on free and reduced lunch, the results were not much better. Only 38% of these students graduated from high school in 4 years. We were alarmed by this data, and we recognized that schools play a vital role in addressing this. However, we also knew that schools couldn't do it alone. Instead, we can only move these needles when the schools work in partnership with parents, nonprofit organizations, businesses, government entities, higher education institutions, and community volunteers. So beginning our foray into collective impact, we designed a collaborative initiative called Torch that sought to leverage all of these resources to increase the graduation rates for our most vulnerable youth, providing academic support, college exploration, career counseling, volunteer opportunities, and leadership positions. And I'm really, really proud to say that we're seeing exciting results in Northfield. Through this collective impact approach, the 4-year high school graduation rate for Latino youth in Northfield has climbed over the past decade to 83%. For low-income youth in Northfield, the graduation rates have increased from 38% in 2005 to 87% last year. We know that this collective impact approach works, and that when the community comes together with our schools and focuses on data-driven strategies, we can see results. Through the legislative support, we're building on this success. And in addition to expanding the Torch initiative, we're significantly expanding our efforts to have an impact earlier in the birth to college continuum. With your support, we are launching similar collective efforts to increase the number of Northfield children who are enter kindergarten ready to learn, the number of third graders who are reading at grade level, and the number of high school students who graduate with a real plan for what comes next. Our work aligns very closely and intentionally with the World's Best Workforce Initiative, and we and our school partners see great synergy in these efforts. Again, through the legislative support, some of the key collaborative community efforts that Northfield Promise is undertaking include working on recruitment efforts to get more low-income children enrolled in high-quality early childhood programs, partnering with our local hospital and public health department to help educate parents of young children on early literacy efforts and provide literacy resources. Implementing an extensive 7-week daily reading program for elementary children who are behind grade level in reading, one that involves extensive parent engagement and recognizes the key role that parents play as the chief educators of their children. Supporting a network of free after-school and summer programming for more than 1,000 Northfield youth. Expanding the number of low-income students of color and potential first-generation college students who are able to access Torch programming. And working with our regional higher education institutions to develop additional career pathway opportunities for jobs that are in demand in our region. We're currently engaging over 250 Northfield partners in these efforts to support all our Northfield children from birth through high school graduation. And we are incredibly grateful for your support in this work. I have the privilege now of turning it over to Maylin Rosas. Maylin is a Northfield High School Torch graduate and a great part of our Northfield Promise Network.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Maylin Rosas. I am a Northfield High School Torch graduate. While growing up in Northfield, there were limited programs that supported Latino youth, kids and youth. As I reached high school, the Latino population grew in Northfield, and the city responded by embracing the Latino community. Thanks to the Torch program, I attended my first summer camp at a college campus early in high school. It was an amazing experience, and it was eye-opening opportunity that I had options. Rather than just working at a factory, I could graduate and go to college. After that summer camp, I was more engaged and inspired to attend college. During my senior year in high school, my life changed when I learned I was going to become a mom. I had been accepted to 2 colleges by then. And I was afraid of what I was going to do. The Torch Initiative was a great support, and I got through my first year of college with a 7-month-old daughter. By the end of my freshman year, I decided to move back to Northfield. And I was nervous because I didn't know what I was going to do career-wise. I was working as a certified nursing assistant at the time, and I knew that I did not want to do that as a career. I reached out again to Torch, and I asked if I could work in the summer program as the Northfield Promise supported. That summer, I worked in one of the free programs, and I loved it. I discovered that I had a passion for education. Today, I'm about to start my final year of my bachelor's degree in elementary education, and I've become very involved in Northfield Promise because it is so helpful. It's just been incredible, and I've seen the great impact that the Latino youth there and my daughter is having with all these Northfield Promise initiatives. Being a mom at any age, I wonder if I'm doing things right. And I have to say, I've never questioned myself of being involved with Northfield Promise. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your story, Ms. Rosa, and especially we congratulate you for persevering, getting your education, and I think you're going to be a terrific teacher.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Charlie Nelson, and I serve as the Executive Director of Every Hand Joined in Red Wing. I would like to thank you and members of this committee for your support. It truly is allowing us to do great things for all of the children of Red Wing. Because of the support of the state of Minnesota, we are truly seeing success. The first major success we've experienced is in the area of data. The financial support from the state allowed us to bring a full-time data analyst on board. This addition has been a game changer for us. We are now able to gather and analyze data and let the data drive our decision making. We are also constantly sharing this data with our school district and assisting them with a capability that they previously did not have. A second area of success for us is in the area of early childhood. Ideally, every child is ready to begin kindergarten at the academic and social and emotional level needed to be successful. This is referred to as being kindergarten ready. We brought a tool to Red Wing the teachers can now use to measure readiness. Also, the use of data has shown us that 80% of our kindergartners who are at least 5.5 years of age and have had 13 months of quality preschool kindergarten are ready to start kindergarten. Data is helping us uncover the recipe for student success, and we're seeing a difference with our youngest learners. None of this would have been possible without your support. Mr. Sorensen is going to tell you a little bit more about this area in a minute. Support from the state has also allowed us to focus on early numeracy. We currently have a pilot program underway that is exposing 3- and 4-year-old children to math and number concepts. Assuming that the pilot goes well, we will be rolling out the early numeracy kits to over 600 children in Red Wing. And finally, the last area of success I'd like to highlight is on our college and career readiness. Support from the state has allowed us to host a college fair and expo for juniors and their parents. Besides multiple financial workshops available, each attendee received a comprehensive workbook that gave students and parents insights and information into the very difficult decision-making process surrounding post-secondary education, as well as information on FAFSA, scholarships, and loans to pay for that education. Just under 40% of our junior class attended that evening, including 14% of our students of color and 9% of our attendees who were identified as at-risk students. This event was incredibly well received. We'll build on it going forward, but again, it would not have happened without support from the state of Minnesota. There is so much more that I could talk to you about, but I know that time is very, very short. I want to thank you for this opportunity, and please know that your support is allowing Every Hand Joined to do great things for the students of Red Wing. And I'd like to have Jeremy Sorensen, if he could, please fill you in on a few of those details.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jeremy Sorensen. I'm the principal of Sunnyside Elementary in Red Wing, Minnesota. Our elementaries are built as grade level centers, so we have all of the kindergartners and all of the first graders across our school district. I am part of the Early Childhood Network, which is with Every Hand Joined. Our main focus is getting students kindergarten ready, which aligns very well with the world's best workforce. The Early Childhood Network is built of professionals within the Red Wing community and parents who are involved in birth to five. So we work with daycare, child care providers that are outside of our school district. We work with Mayo Health, we work with Goodhue County Social Services, we work with United Way, and there's multiple other pieces that are a part of that group. When thinking about kindergarten ready, as a school district, only 47% of the kids that come to kindergarten go to our school district aligned preschool center. So we only have access to about half of those kids. Through the Early Childhood Network and aligning with other child care and preschool providers in town, we've increased that to over 80% of the kids. So now we are involved in their lives much earlier. Part of what we've done as a group is we've defined kindergarten ready. We use a tool called the KSEP. We've adopted that. So we have the power of common language and common definition. When I, as a principal, am talking about kindergarten ready, I'm talking about the same thing that the child care providers, whether it's a home provider or a clinic provider in our town, are talking about. We've also had the ability to track data for a number of years, which has been extremely helpful. We've been able to identify certain patterns. Something else we've done with the daycare providers is we've created a transition to kindergarten program where we now receive common information from all of our daycare providers. So again, going from having access to 47% of our kids to now over 80% of our kids, we're getting information about those kids to create more balanced classrooms, which helps everybody out. We've been able to identify patterns of students who are coming to school kindergarten ready and students who are not. One of the things we've identified is social-emotional skills. So as a group, we've been able to support that very focused, in a very focused way. We're supporting our home and center-based child care in the community with becoming more star-rated through Parent Aware. We're also doing things like opening up our school student assistance team, which is a resource that schools have access to when children are struggling. Teachers and other people can come to that, and it's a brainstorming center. School psychologists, social workers, behavior specialists. Our community now has access to that. It's been a really neat thing. We've also been able to procure funding to hire a coach or a liaison to work with those communities. So thinking about all of those things, our data last year, 68% of our kids came into kindergarten as kindergarten ready. This year, 2015-16 school year, it was the highest we've ever had. We had 85% of our students kindergarten ready. And we can
we can tangibly pick out items that we think had caused that. We're hoping that by maintaining that high percentage or increasing that, we can actually put some causal situation to that. But our relationships with the other birth to five early childhood providers in town has greatly increased because of our ability to work with each other. It's been a really, really good experience.
Thank you. And why don't you stay for a second? I think Representative Crescia had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Nelson, right?
Yes.
And Mr. Swanson, and thank you. Two quick things. Number one, if you could, both of you could provide your contact details to the page, I'd love to talk to you after this meeting offline. I'm especially interested in the data and how you're using data. Can you tell me what data you collect? And if this is really long, we can do it offline. But at real top line, what do you collect? How do you use it? And where are you getting the data from?
We are starting to really drill into the data. So the information that we're taking right now is supplied by parents as they fill out a kindergarten registration form. And Representative, we have questions that we want to know more about. But one of the data points that I quoted is that we said we believe that children who go to school for at least 13 months of preschool, those tend to be more ready. Well, we need to figure out what 13 months means. Is it a calendar year plus a month? Do they look at it as two separate school years? We have to drill down. But most of our data right now is being provided to us from parents, and we're going through to make sure we will start aligning it with quality daycare. We're going to continue to drill down. The information Jeremy reported is out of our KSEP, our kindergarten student enrollment profile, which is a observational tool that teachers use that was brought to the district by Every Hand Joint.
Representative Crescia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I won't take any more committee time, but yes, please leave your contact because we have a larger effort going as well that we may be able to help you with and vice versa. So
fantastic.
Thank you for both your work.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, good afternoon, and committee members. So nice to be back. My name is Sandra Samuels, and I am president and CEO of the Northside Achievement Zone. And today I have with me some parents and staff of the Northside Achievement Zone that you'll hear from in a moment. I will be fast because I know you have a full agenda. You'll hear shortly from Shannon Brown and Amy Succi, two of our amazing parents, two of about 1,100, and Latoya Surratt, who is not only a parent, but she is, we hired her too, to work in North Minneapolis. And I would like also to just ask all of the staff and members of Northside community, if you would please stand, Northside Achievement Zone, that would be great. Hi, thank you. We thought we'd bring everybody over from the other side of the river today, because usually St. Paul holds it down for us. We thank you so much. And we have other partners here as well, a bunch of partners, so hi. Northside Achievement Zone.
You are well represented, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Northside in the house. anyway, we too are members of the Education Partnership Coalition, and very proud, I mean, as you heard from the four other neighborhoods today, we are all locally organized, and we have a targeted approach, and we are data-driven, and we are holistic, and we are learning from each other. I've been out to Red Wing and St. Cloud and Northfield more than I thought I would. And they've been here in North Minneapolis and in St. Paul. And we have a lot to learn from each other. But the thing that we all share as a coalition is that we know we love our state. And we don't want to leave any child behind. And I know you all have probably seen the recent NPR report talking about the state of education in Minnesota. And yet again, you know, we get a report that we are dead last in the country in terms of graduating Latinos in 4 years and 48th in the country in graduating African Americans and spend the least on support services. And I think you've heard today about a lot of support services that we are all providing. And I recited that kind of tragic news only to say I know we know it, but I want to thank you all because what we are doing as the Education Partnership is something different. and something innovative. And I know you all have been scratching your head for decades around how to really create the world's best workforce and eradicate our achievement gap. And I believe that this approach is actually doing that. Really quickly about Northside Achievement Zone, we about 6.5, 7 years ago came together as a community of about 50 Northside organizations, tired of the outcomes that we were seeing for our families and our children. We believed that we were ground zero for all of the egregious gaps, opportunity gaps in our state, and we were tired of it happening on our watch. And so we decided to stop doing our siloed approach and to actually integrate everything that we were doing in terms of our education pipeline from early childhood to college and our whole family support, housing, career, behavioral health, understanding that schools can't do it alone. And I got to tell you, I think that that is the number one pillar of education reform, that we have to all do it together and that our children are not failing. We have failed as adults. And so with your – so and once we came together – we put together a plan. We started working it with no significant funding. And then in 2011, we received a $28 million grant from the Federal Department of Education to scale up our work over 5 years. And we are in the fifth year of that grant. And that ends this year. And the whole premise of that with the federal government kept telling us, because, you know, as soon as we got the grant, we knew it was our greatest opportunity, but it was also our greatest challenge because it would end right after we scaled up into the work. But what our value proposition was is that we would show real outcomes and that we would leverage that investment at our local level. And you all, this state legislature last year was the first state in the entire nation to leverage the investment in such a significant way with both North Minneapolis and St. Paul across the country. And so with the investment that you all provided, we were able to do a number of things in terms of this holistic approach with our families and community and schools. But three key things was around parent engagement and parenting education, our family academy classes, our expanding our after-school and summer programming with the providers that provide that, and our high school solutions as well, and then whole family support. We spent a portion of the investment that you all made on career programming for our families, as well as housing support, and like the ED of St. Paul mentioned, we also received support for housing through the Minnesota Finance and Housing organization as well. In your handout here that you received, we are the first neighborhood listed, and I just want to highlight some of the activities that we did in those three buckets on the first page. Again, because of your investment, we are now engaging over 1,100 families and 2,300 children. 93 parents last year were able to graduate from our parenting education programming. 52 children were matched with mentors. And you can read it. I won't go through it all. But we were able to increase the number of scholars, our students that went through summer programming and after school to 955 just at the end of the last portion of the year. And if you turn in, we highlight some of the amazing outcomes we've been able to see. And what I want to say in full transparency, us as well as the other neighborhoods that we're partnered with, we are data-driven. We love data and we hate data because it can be really confusing, but nothing that we do, we are measuring everything, because what gets measured gets treasured. And if anybody wants to talk to me about how we're evaluating what we're evaluating besides what's here, I would love to do it. Wilder Research does all of our external evaluation, and we have an internal team as well. And basically what this data is showing, because we don't have it perfectly right yet, we're still learning, and that's the beauty of the investment that you've made, is that we can learn in real time and make changes in real time. But what you'll see here is our early childhood solutions are working. The early childhood scholarships have made a huge difference for our families. More of our children are ready for K than those zoned wide because of the integrated support. You'll see here in the schools, where we have real integration, and what I mean by, because our staff is co-located as well, our family coaches as well as academic specialists, where the schools don't even know that our staff is not their staff, that's when real integration is happening. And I gave two examples of a public district school and a parochial school where we really see that happening. That's the kind of stuff we want to continue to push out. And then, you know, again, you can see some of the things that we've been able to do. And so, you know, again, I really want to thank you. And we know what works. We really do. And we're finding out what doesn't. And we're going to stop that. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Shannon and Amy. And Shannon, will, if you could say a few words about how you're engaging with NAS and the impact.
I can. Okay. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, representatives. I thank you this afternoon for giving me an opportunity to tell you how important NAS is in our lives. I don't have anything scripted. I thought it was easiest to say how important it is. First off, we have six scholars, and two of them were able to start with early childhood, and they're both geniuses right now. I mean, the whole school thinks that they are. You know, they're doing great because of their early childhood.
That's great. And would you please state your name for the record?
I'm sorry, Shannon Brown.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
We have four kids at a Hall Elementary, which is an anchor school and a partner, and we have our connector, Jatan White. She's phenomenal there. And so many times there's something going on, I don't have to go up there. Amy doesn't have to go up there because, you know, Jatan's there to take care of it. We're in a hurry to get back now because Jatan is here. So, you know, so we got to get back and take our own kids. But we have a kid in junior high school in Kip. That's another partner school. And because of all the partners that we may not have had access to without NAS, we may not have known nothing about the different programs. Once again, Jatan, she'll send me texts about apprenticeship programs for myself and, you know, home buying programs. We went through the foundation class, which is phenomenal in my life. I try to live some of the things that I've learned from it. And when I talk about NAS, my friends, what's going on with NAS? You know, what you got? All of them think I'm a big shot. So, yeah, I'm something. Yeah, NAS. NAS. So, I mean, we have a high school guy, or a high school kid. He's a sophomore. And we have, he's at North. And North is also a partner. And his connector up there, Navigator, he's great. He helps him with, you know, after school program. He keeps him after school to help him with chemistry and geometry, you know, stuff they need help with. And I don't think he really has to do that, but he takes time so he can come in the morning at 7:30, just come early. So NAS has been really, you know, intricate in our lives. It's very important.
I can tell, Mr. Brown, and it sounds like your kids are doing well.
They are. Team Brown. This is their mom back there. She's president and CEO of Team Brown. Self-appointed.
And they are, and both of them are also on our parent advisory board. And I just, you know, again, you know, I get to often come before you and talk about the work, but these are the heroes, and they are the ones who are really transforming our community, and I think promise to transform our state. And then lastly, I'd like to introduce Latoya Surratt. Oh, you can just, I think that one works too.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And if you will just state your name for the record.
Oh, my name is Latoya Surratt. And I have one scholar, and she goes to our anchor school, Elizabeth Hall. I have a few little things out. I'm not the top
That's
of the
okay.
head.
That's all right.
So I'm not only a NAS family, a NAS parent, but I am also now a family coach with NAS. I moved here a few years ago for a little change. I found things to help me, and everything that I kept finding all kept leading me to NAS. And I wanted to be into this program so bad. I didn't know why everything. I just knew a few things. I had people telling me about the program, and I'm like, okay, I got to get in here. So finally, February of 2015, Jatan comes up. She came upstairs and she was talking to us at one of the things, and I was able to come down and sign up. Mike Shelton, he ended up being my connector at the time. And as I enrolled in 2015, Mike gave me every type of support, family support that I needed. He connected me with the academic classes. I did a lot of academic support, the Family Academy, College Bound Scholars. Then I went back also as a parent leader with the College Bound Scholars. my connector. He helped me with my resume to get it right, get it fresh, so I can submit it to NAS, so I can become an employee with NAS. My daughter also, too, during this time, she needed some academic support. She ended up connecting with Jason Daisy, which is up there, too. And now she has become... She has become more confident when she reads in spelling and in math and things like that. Then during this time, just working with NAS, they have been able to give me that extra boost that I needed to become the leader that I need to become and be able to also support my family at home and in the community.
Thank you very much. And there's nothing that speaks to me more than parents saying this has made a difference in my life or my kids' life. So. Thanks for sharing your stories with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry. Representative Kwan, did you have a question for these testifiers?
For Northside Sandra.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we've got our Sandra on the committee,
okay,
too.
Okay. Northside.
thank you, Madam Chair. It's awesome to see what happens when the community says education and kids and parents are important. And it's great that you're emphasizing the parents, they're so key, and the kids. And I'm glad to see that in here that you're with, you're visiting Northfield and Red Wing. Have you been down to Rochester with Superintendent Munoz and some of the people?
Yes, actually. And
Samuels.
Yeah, yes. And in fact, Rochester has been to North Minneapolis as well. And so we have hosted about 43 other communities over the course of the last year who wanted to come and find out about our model. Rochester has been one that we have been partnering with, as well as now the Education Partnership Coalition, to just let them know how we've built our models and how it works and how they can learn from us. And so, yes, and then they invited me out. So I have met the superintendent there.
Representative Kwan.
Madam Chair, and I'm excited because when we have success and we've made a change in lives, and the kids in the classroom now just not this pipe dream for 5-10 years in the future, that not only do they care about the kids on the north side, they're going around and cross-pollinating what works and igniting that energy locally in Rochester. You'll be seeing a jacketed bill to try and implement this in Rochester, and I hope it continues to spread and grow because Minnesota and the kids need this, just not the north side, but all sides. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much for your testimony. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Dabney has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to make sure. I think Ms. Samuels may be being a little too humble here. NAS's impact, North High, which Team Brown mentioned, North High School saw a 28-point increase in its four-year graduation rate from 2014 to 2015. That's a 60% increase. That a school with, if I remember correctly, an 89% free and reduced price lunch rate. Yeah. I'm going to give the credit first and foremost to the students and their families.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to believe that NAS had a piece of that. I'm questioning, however, whether NAS can claim a piece in the pollers taking the Class 1A basketball state championship on Saturday. But I don't know. Maybe she probably attended some of the games.
Well, one of the coaches is here. One of our coaches is the coach.
Hey.
So yes, Representative Dabney. But I tell you, we take we don't much on the high school level. We have one academic navigator there, and that's a thing that we really want to, you know. And so there's many students, and I even talked to the principal and congratulated her, and I said, please know that we know we're just a tiny drop in the bucket, but we want to be more.
Madam Chair.
Representative Dabney.
All hands on deck.
That's right. That's right.
And all hands count.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that presentation. I look forward every year to hearing about the great work that you're doing. I do have and I met with Karen Grable, one of your board members, yes, who's also a friend of mine, and she had many wonderful things to say. I just have one question, and I asked this last year, too. It's so wonderful that you're driving to get those kids career and college ready. It's amazing. I'm just wondering, though, is your emphasis when you say college ready. Mm-hmm. It's a little concerning because, you know, actually when you look at the economic landscape out there, so many of those jobs, they're wonderful careers, but they, you know, can come through the community college or the technical college. So I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about, you know, how you introduce that post-secondary experience to kids and what your emphasis is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. So, you know, the big thing is just that disproportionately in our community is made up of African Americans, and then our next largest group is white, Hmong, and then we have a burgeoning Latino group. And we are just trying to, we are very cognizant of what we say college bound. We are really working on a college bound culture in North Minneapolis. You know, I show the t-shirt every time I come with the graduation rate from a four-year college for our youngest baby, and then we have bumper stickers all over the place saying, you know, future college graduates, we support them. But even as I say that, so we have 43 partners, which includes 10 schools, and 10 public district, public charter, parochial contract alternative, but we also have a college success team that's headed up by the executive director of UROC, which is in North Minneapolis, part of the University of Minnesota, and NCTC. And in fact, this will be the second year in a row that about 100 or so 6th through 8th graders will spend their summer on MCTC's campus because of the work that we're doing in collaboration with each other. But I will tell you that we are trying to undo centuries of low expectations for particularly African American and Latino students. And so we aspirationally hold up college as an aspiration, knowing that we also mean vocational, post-secondary. But we want our kids to know that if they want to shoot for the moon and they hit a couple stars, they've still made it. And so we do unabashedly say college bound. And again, but the way we're structured, everybody knows that we're very broad in our definition of what that is.
Thank you, Seltzer.
Madam Chair, in representative.
Mr. Nelson.
I'm sorry, I would just say the same thing for Red Wing, echo Sandra's response. We've put a lot of effort into, you know, post-secondary, we talk about college prep, but we're saying two-year vocational, four-year the military, and we're also working with our workforce employment to start calling out jobs that are hard to fill. XL Energy needs pipe fitters. They need electricians. Mm-hmm. So that our students are aware of that, what education they might need to do that, and then there is a pipeline for them, too. So four-year aspirationally, but realistically, we want every child to continue their education right beyond high school. Right. It doesn't stop there.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Mullery.
Oh, Madam Chair, I was just going to say, don't you also feed a lot to Patrick Henry?
Yes, yes.
Since my dad taught there 39 years, yeah. I just had to bring up that Henry is a really top school and gets a lot of recognition nationally. So North is great, but we also have to bring in Henry.
And Henry, by the way, has a graduation rate equal to Southwest High School at 87%.
Yep.
Exceeds. Okay, it exceeds. I stand corrected in a delighted way.
Mm-hmm. Very well. Well, thank you, Ms. Samuels, Mr. Nelson, all of our presenters on our education partnership pilot programs, and fortunate to be at NAS recently and with all the partners there to do a presentation. And I'll say here what I said to you that at that time. Here in this committee, we're about funding what works. And so show me what you're doing. Show me that it's working, and we will put our funds, the state taxpayers' funds, behind it, because we want to make sure that we are closing the achievement gap and that every child in Minnesota has the ability to pursue whatever their dream is post high school, and that it will be one a future of success. So we appreciate what you're doing, and we'll continue to follow your progress very carefully.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
thank you. All right, so I think with the 15 minutes that we have left, members, what I'd like to do is see if we can get, we're going to have a presentation on our parent-child home program pilot as well. And then I think tomorrow, we've kind of talked to people ahead of time, just with the session taking longer than we thought, go to our early learning report and an update from Parent Aware. So if that works for everybody, and if not, see me, and we'll maybe make some adjustments to our schedule down the road. All right. So I believe we have with us Lee Friedman and Christy Murray. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, welcome. And if you would please just introduce yourselves for the record, and we welcome your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to spend a few minutes on a very busy day for you. I'm Lee Friedman. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Jewish Family and Children's Service of Minneapolis. Just a reminder, we've been serving the community for 106 years, primarily in Minneapolis and Western Hennepin County, but more recently, very excitingly, in Cass County as well through the Parent-Child Home Program that we're here to talk about today. We serve people of all backgrounds and faiths. Our holistic basket of services includes Meals on Wheels for seniors, mental health support, career services, and family counseling, and many, many more services. We've been providing the Parent-Child Home Program in the state of Minnesota since 2006, and we've received state funding since 2013. And the opportunity to talk to you today about what works and your investment, we really appreciate that. We thank you, certainly, several of you, for your past support for the state funding. Madam Chair Liu, Representative Erickson, Representative Anzelk, Representative Seltzer. And I'm also happy to say that we have several representatives for whom we are serving families in your districts. We're serving families in the districts of Representative Loon, Representative Seltzer, Representative Anzelk, Representative Slocum, and Representative Mullery, and hopefully for many more of you into the future. Christy Murray is our program manager, and she'll talk to you a little bit about the day-to-day and how we're making sure that the funds are succeeding with our families and the parents teaching their children.
Good afternoon, Chair Loon, and also all the committee members as well, too. The Parent-Child Home Program is an evidence-based literacy parenting school readiness model committed to closing the achievement gap by providing low-income families the skills and materials that they need to prepare their children for school and life success. Parent-Child Home Program does this through home visiting, as learning begins in the home. The parents in our program are what the integral key to their children's academic success. In Parent-Child Home Program, we empower parents to be their child's first and most important educator. I wanted to provide a little bit of update on what we have been doing this year. This year, we have, with the funding that we have been receiving from this Minnesota Department of Education, we are able to serve a total of 136 families, all of whom are below the 200% of poverty guidelines. 70 of those families are funded by the Minnesota Department of Education grants that we're getting, and the other 66% come from additional funding that JFCS has raised through grants from private donors and through some of our general funds as well, too. 91% of the families that we're serving this year are families of color. We also, through partnerships that we have made because of the funding we've received from Minnesota Department of Education, has allowed us to be able to expand in areas such as Minneapolis through our partnership with Way to Grow, located in North Minneapolis. And since last year, we were able to increase our service area by 50% in Minneapolis, and we're really excited to be able to help partner with great organizations like NAS as well, too, and also in neighborhoods such as Heritage Park and Harrison, which are outside of the NAS achievement zone, but are still in North Minneapolis and still have a high population of people of color. In Cass County, we are excited to be able to serve in that area and to be able to provide this service to families that helps get them ready as well, too. We're looking to expand into the Pine River Bacchus area in fall of 2006 and trying to serve 22 families there as well, too. The exciting thing about getting this state funding is that we're able to not only serve in the suburban area where we first started in 2006, but now we're able to serve urban and rural areas where this same model works in all of those settings. And we see families being ready for success in school and getting those kids ready so that they're off to that great start. Already this year, for the 2016-2017, we already have 50 families on the wait list, and our recruitment gets energized about the late spring and summer, so we already have 50 families that have been coming in. A lot of those referrals come from families that are either past program participants or current, because that word just spreads. But also, we have been partnering with a lot of different nonprofit agencies that have, and also the local early childhood family education programs in various school districts in our service area, and the word just keeps spreading. Recently, this year, I was able also to hear from agencies in White Earth and in St. Paul, and you know, with the possibility of increased funding, we may be able to spread to more areas of Minnesota as well too. Really, the return on investment is just incredible. What we have been able to research is that for every dollar of state government funding, there is a return on investment of $4.40. This impact is measurable and meaningful, and we see it every day. And just like the great stories that we were able to hear from some of our families, we have a story to share as well, too. Just this year, we have a first-year family in North Minneapolis, an African-American family, who has, in the short time that they've been in the program, the 7 months, they've shown significant strides to overcome some really intense struggles that this family has had. The mother of this family was most recently became homeless. She does not have a high school diploma due to some of the learning disabilities that she has of her own, and she also suffers from an immune system disorder, which she had to have surgery in this year as well too. So it's just such a huge impact that she's been having to deal with. And then both father and the child in this family are both diagnosed with mild autism, and the father also suffers from a brain injury. With all of the barriers that this family had, the parents knew that an early intervention was the key for their child having a new story, and to be able to move forward to success. And so they reached out to the Parent-Child Home Program, and we've been able to work with them. And throughout this time, they have been consistent with their visits, no matter what barriers come their way. And the mother has been able to find housing and obtain home furnishings from Bridging, and all of that was due to the referrals that were provided by the Parent-Child Home Program home visitor. At the start of the Parent-Child Home Program, that family was working with the child who had no language skills whatsoever, just a very minimal vocabulary. And in the 7 months that we've been working with this family, this child has had a language explosion, both in his verbal processing and his ability to comprehend language as well, too. And the parents, the child has also really increased in his ability to interact with other people and with the parents and with the materials that we bring to help the parents and be that teacher to their child. Each visit that this home visitor goes to, the parents always comment on how they give all the credit to the Parent-Child Home Program, but really they are the key factor in it. Parent is the first name in our program, and it's of the utmost importance. And this family is really looking forward to this child having his three-year-old screening, which we, of course, will refer them on to continue that process. And they're looking forward to seeing where his developmental track is so that he could be moving forward to his son's future, their future success in school.
Thank you. I have a couple of folks on the list for questions. Representative Mullery.
Thank you. Three questions. First, how often do you visit the home? Second question, we're now seeing more of the need for the home visitors also going to the family, friend, and neighbor caregivers. Do you do that in the program? And third, do you know the differences between your program and the one through the Department of Health?
Ms. Murray.
Yep. So our home visiting program is we're very intensive. We're in the family's homes twice a week for 30 minutes each visit. And the Parent-Child Home Program is a national program, and we are a replication model of that program. And they have over 50 years of evidence that show that children who go through this program are 30% more likely to graduate from high school. And your other question was about some of the other home visiting programs.
The second question was whether you also serve the family, friend, and neighbor caregiver. Was difference between that and Department of Health programs?
Yep. So the family friend caregivers. So we work directly with the parents and the child in our visits. Sometimes it can be a family friend that's doing a lot of support. We in our visits we often have multiple children. Like a lot of our parents that are in the home might have other children, and they also get the benefit of the program as well too when they're there for those visits. And we really want to increase our partnership with different organizations that do health home visiting, because a lot of those programs are home that have a health base to them, start from prenatal until about 18 months, and our program starts with families 18 months to 2.5 years old. So we want to be that link that helps keep that momentum towards success.
Yep. Representative Mallory?
Okay.
Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you go into their homes, how many people go into the home?
Ms. Murray.
To work, like if there's a father, a mother, a baby,
yep.
a child.
Yep.
Is it three people then, or is there just one?
It just varies from family to family. So there's one home visitor that would go out to on a regular basis to be doing the home visits. And we work with families that either both parents are there and able to be involved. Sometimes with parents' work schedules or education schedules, we might work with dad on one day or mom on another. We do have a couple of grandparents who are a part of the caregiving of the children as well, too, and so we have them as well, too. We actually have a high number of two-parent households in our families that we're serving.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You were here before, right?
We have been. Parent-Child Home Program has been here. One of our representatives from Cass County was here to present before.
Did you talk about bringing toys to the family?
We do, and sorry. Actually we brought some with.
All right. Okay, so I've got a great
yes.
connection.
So our curriculum, we followed the research that shows that so often they have toys that are deemed to be educational and they speak for the children, but there's a lot of research that shows that the toys that aren't that are more simplistic are what are going to help to drive that interaction between parent and child that helps that language development. So as you can see, this is a puzzle with shapes and colors, and it just drives conversations that you can have with between parent and child. And they're just fun too.
Very good. Nothing with a battery, right?
Nothing with a battery. Nothing that speaks, because we want the children and the parents to be speaking to each other.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. All right. Any other questions for our witnesses? All right. With that, thank you both very much. You know, the chair's been a big fan of this, and we appreciate the update on how you're doing, and keep up the good work. So, all right.
The opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, thank you, members. And as I said, we're going to try to work the rest of our agenda in tomorrow that we weren't able to cover because of our shortened committee time with session today. So, we appreciate your flexibility, everyone. And committee is adjourned.